After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him.
Thanks, Jaslyn. Yeah, I'll take that. Today we celebrate Jesus is alive. If kids want to go to Kids Zone, they can be dismissed. I think some left and some are still staying. So we're celebrating. As Jaslyn just read in that passage, the women went to go to the tomb, and when they went there, they discovered that Jesus was not there. Jesus was alive. And we celebrate that today. Now, is this the day that it happened? No. But we tend to remember, celebrate, and live in rhythms. In the church, we have Christmas and Easter. In our lives, we have birthdays, we have anniversaries. There are moments where we celebrate the passage of time, we celebrate events that happened, we celebrate relationships. On this day, 11 years ago, my firstborn, oh goodness, I knew I was going to have mom tears. She was born. We celebrated yesterday. We take these moments to celebrate, to remember the things that happened. With Easter, we celebrate the moment that God, who came into the world to be with us, Christ Jesus, that we celebrate at Christmas, that he came into the world, he came to be with us in the darkness. We celebrate that he was also the God for us. At Easter, we remember the fact that he died. On Good Friday, we remember the fact that he died. We even set apart a special day to remember that, and then a special day to remember the fact that he did not stay dead, that he lives. And so in the rhythms of the church, in the days that we set aside to remember, we honor, we celebrate the fact that Jesus came to be in the world, to be in the darkness with us so that we would not be alone. But not only that, on Easter we celebrate the fact that he brings us out of the darkness and into the light. Now, I don't think that any of us really need to be told that the world is dark. We all see it, even though sometimes we might disagree on why. We see the brokenness. We feel the brokenness. Even though sometimes in our lives they can be going well, we can still glance at the news and there are so many stories of brokenness. And in this time of year, we celebrate the fact. Well, first on Good Friday, we remember that Jesus died, that he paid the price for sin. That because of what he did, sin has no hold on us. But when we talk about that, what are we talking about? I grew up attending church, and I heard the word sin a lot. But it is difficult sometimes to understand what that means, other than it just saying, I guess we really suck. So what is it? In my effort to figure out how to say it succinctly, I watched this video by The Bible Project, I don't know if you've watched any of their videos, but they do really well either explaining books of the Bible or concepts in the Bible and actually adding visuals as well. And so a lot of the words that I'm going to use as I explain sin is going to come from them because they are great at it. And they talked about how sin ultimately is our failure to love God and others by not treating them with the honor that they deserve. It's our failure to be truly human, to be who we are meant to be, people in relationship with God and with others. Sin breaks those things. Sin is not just doing bad things, but it's when we try to redefine everything in our lives, everything in the world, redefine good and evil by our own wisdom, what we think is best. Sin is really our failure to be humans who fully love God and others, our inability to judge whether we are succeeding or failing well. We tend to be judging it by our own standards, and there's plenty of things that we're missing. And sin is also that deep selfish impulse that, I'm not going to put it on you, but I know I have it, and I know many of us have it, that deep selfish impulse that drives so much of our behavior. Sin is our tendency towards self-deception. And it's rooted in our desires and selfish urges that compel us to act for our own sakes at the expense of others. We become so concerned with ourselves, with our wants, desires, and what we believe our needs are, that we put them first and we sabotage our relationship with God and we sabotage our relationship with others. And maybe it's not even intentional sabotage, but it's just that that pursuit of ourselves, it leads to brokenness. And we see that evidence of that brokenness so much in the world. And yet, this time of year, we take the time to remember that Jesus, who had no sin, he took the sin of the world, our failure to be fully human. He took it upon himself when he died. And his death broke the power of sin over us. And then this morning, on Easter Sunday, we celebrate the fact that not only did Jesus die for us, but Jesus rose. Death had no hold on him. And as we celebrate that, we celebrate the fact that death has no hold on us. We get our life from and in him. We get to live, we get have life to or in the kingdom of God. If you have been with us for the past few months, we have talked a little bit about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is basically that realm in our lives, in the world, where God is in charge, where we live as if, or acknowledging that he is in charge, that the priorities that he has set out are actually what help us be what we are meant to be. But in this world of brokenness and darkness, that kingdom seems like an upside-down kingdom. It has different priorities than that self-protection and promotion that we are used to. And on this day, we celebrate that the fact that we are able to die with him in what he did on the cross and die to sin, but then we are able to also become alive with him in a spiritual life where we are be able to, like, it's like a seed. And we become alive to him and alive to each other in the way that we are meant to be. When someone came to Jesus and said, "What are the most important commandments?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And we have a tendency to miss the mark on that. And actually, the Hebrew word for sin, it actually means miss the mark. like if you're trying to aim at something and it goes slightly off. And I believe we have this desire in all of us. This feeling where we go, something is not right. I feel like myself and my relationships in the world, there is a fullness that they should have and they don't have. Something is missing the mark. I am missing the mark. We have a tendency, I don't know if you have the tendency, but I've heard a lot of this messaging lately, as the world has become more awakened to what shame is, largely in part to the research of Brené Brown. I think we get conflicted about that moment where we can acknowledge that we're missing the mark. And it's very easy to come to church and hear some of what we talk about and think that the message is, oh, I am horrible. But what we're actually saying is, we are meant for this beautiful picture of wholeness, of relationship with God and relationship with others. And we miss the mark. And it's not about making us feel like we are horrible people. It's about Jesus being able to bring life into us so our eyes can see the mark more clearly. And through the Holy Spirit, we are given the power to pursue that mark. It's not that we are perfect. I wish that we were. But when Paul would explain the gospel to Christians, he would talk about how we are united to Christ. Christ was the perfect human. He was in perfect relationship with God. He was in perfect relationship with others. He embodied love. He embodied embodied humility. He embodied service. He embodied giving up his own life. And we are able to be united with him. And the bondage of our not being enough, the fact that we have this tendency to just keep missing the mark, that doesn't have to be our whole story. Because Jesus rose and we can be his, we are able to be alive in this kingdom of wholeness. Colossians is one of the letters that Paul wrote to groups of Christians. He actually wrote this one to the church in Colossae, and then he actually said, like, share this around so that other people can hear this as well. And I'm going to read a portion of that book, Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. And Paul said this: "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory." Now, this passage, I feel like when we hear heaven, we tend to think, oh, after this life is done, once I'm dead, then I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about after this life. But in this passage, when it's talking about being raised to new life with Christ and setting our sights on the realities of heaven, that's not talking about thinking about something that's going to happen later. It's about talking about the fact that this life has been brought into our hearts now. And we are to set our sights on the place where Christ sits in honor at God's right hand. When we think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth, it's not that we are thinking about what we are going to get far into the future. It's thinking about the life that we are able to live into now. because we died to the selfishness, to the missing the mark, and we are able to begin a new life in Christ, where we will share in this special quality that he has. For his glory is not what we think about when we, I think when I hear the word glory and I hear about someone's glory, I like think of a sports star and everyone cheering for them and they'll be like, yay, it's wonderful, which I think is the response to God's glory. But God's glory is his presence, his essence, what makes him, what makes him holy, what makes him different than the world. That aspect of him that we long for, that reveals to us, yes, there is something missing in my life. I've lost my place. I got so excited. So we have been given new life, and that's one of the things we celebrate today. We celebrate the fact that Christ is no longer dead. He died for us, but then he rose. We have been given this new life to be alive to God and alive to others, so that when his kingdom comes in its fullness, we are ready for him. Alistair, if you want to go get the kids, we'll be ready for them shortly. This is something that starts now. We are invited to live in the present, right now, as if the new creation that we will see in the future has arrived already, because it has when Jesus rose from the dead. He has life, and through him, we are able to have life. It's something that starts now, and it's something that continues throughout our life. It's something that we, while we are living in it, we are also looking forward to when it will happen in its fullness. And the reason that we live in rhythm as Christians, the reason that we put these dates on our calendars, is to give us the habit on reflecting on what God has done. Because when we are able to do that, it strengthens our ability. It strengthens our hope and our ability to live in that reality. Because it reminds us that he is with us and he is for us. And we celebrate what he does, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of those we know, in the lives of those throughout history, and in the lives of the writers of the Bible. Today, we celebrate. We celebrate that Jesus is alive. We celebrate that we have been united with him in death, and we are united with him in new life in his kingdom. We celebrate it today, a day tied to our calendar, to help us set that foundation, the foundation of our lives here in this world where we can get so distracted by the little details. We set the foundation of our identity not in who the world says we are, not in the demands that the world puts on us, but in who Christ says we are.